Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The title is Kulistan Taiba Se Masroor Hunga. Ajam ke bayaba se mafroor hunga, Gulistan Taiba se masroor hunga. Ajam ke bayaba se mafroor hunga, Gulistan Taiba se masroor hunga. Main deedar gumbaz se makhmoor hunga, kabhi noor hunga, kabhi toor hunga. Gunahon se apne main ranjoor hunga, bafaiz-e-shafaat main maghfoor hunga. Main deedar-e-gumbaz se makhmoor hunga, kabhi noor hunga, kabhi toor hunga. Gunahon se apne main ranjoor hunga, bafaiz-e-shafaat main maghfoor hunga. Uregi hawa se jo khaak-e-madina, main aise gubaron mein mastoor hunga. Uregi hawa se jo khaak-e-madina, main aise gubaron mein mastoor hunga. Main roze pe salle ala nazar karke badil noor hunga, baja noor hunga. Main roze pe salle ala nazar karke badil noor hunga, baja noor hunga. Madine ke anwar o sham o sahar se sarapa dilo ja se masroor hunga. Madine ke anwar o sham o sahar se sarapa dilo ja se masroor hunga. Main mamnoon hunga khuda ke karam ka, kabhi dil mein apne na maghroor hunga. Main mamnoon hunga khuda ke karam ka, kabhi dil mein apne na maghroor hunga. Har ek amr mera hai sunnat pe chal kar, khuda ke karam se main mansoor hunga. Uhud ke shaheedon ke khoone wafa se sabak le ke paband dastoor hunga. Uhud ke shaheedon ke khoone wafa se sabak le ke paband dastoor hunga. Madine mein jab kalb o jaan chhor aaya, main mahjoor hokar na mahjoor hunga. Madine mein jab kalb o jaan chhor aaya, main mahjoor hokar na mahjoor hunga. Quba ki ziyarat wa naflon se akhtar, har ek raah sunnat se pur noor hunga. Quba ki ziyarat wa naflon se akhtar, har ek raah sunnat se pur noor hunga. Ajam ke bayaba se mafroor hunga, Gulistan Taiba se masroor hunga.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. This beautiful bayan of our honorable illustrious Sheikh Arif Billah, Rumi Waqt Abrez Zamana, Mujaddid Zamana, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawar Allah Marqadahu. Hazrat is teaching us that if you want to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala informs us, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then announce my beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that follow my way of life. And a person only follows a person when he's got true love for that person. Al-muhibbu limay yuhibbu muti'un. Who you love, you don't have to tell that person follow him. So the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great condition for our iman and is extremely necessary. And to learn the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need these Mubarak Majalis of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah. They will teach us how to love Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, like myself, in my foolish thoughts, reading a few duruds upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very broken way, I will think I got the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from this beautiful bayan, which Hazrat has presented in poetic form, we can just get a brief idea of what love the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this we should take inspiration and make dua and beg Allah ta'ala to give us an iota of the true love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat is teaching us, when Allah ta'ala grants that opportunity to be in the beautiful garden of the precincts of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other words, the most beautiful garden on the face of the earth is Madinatul Munawwara, especially the Haram Sharif, where Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam splendid Mubarak countenance is resting there. Where can there be a better garden than that? Where can there be more peace than that? Where can a person get more enjoyment and more happiness in that place than any other place? But myself, I must check my condition that Allah Ta'ala took us, we did not appreciate it. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that we should beg Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness and beg Allah Ta'ala to open the doors and beg Allah Ta'ala out of His kindness to take us to these Mubarak places, especially the beautiful garden of Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat says that Ajam ke bayaba se mafroor rahunga, gulista e teiba se masroor rahunga. That all the other so-called gardens of the world, which is besides the beautiful gardens of Haramain Sharifain, I will run away from that. Sadly, today we are locked up, called in a locked up condition. But our holidays, we are still planning. And we are still going to this resort and that resort. Hazrat says, when you get an iota and an inkling of the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you run away from those places. You won't even think of going to such a place. And gulistai taiba se masroor rahunga. You'll be overjoyed with the beautiful garden of Madinatul Munawwara, to be in the precincts of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be in that very, very blessed area where Allah Ta'ala's special nur is descending. And in any case, if we cannot go bodily there, then as Hazrat explains further, that put your ruh connect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by reciting abundance of durood of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then wherever you are in the world also, you won't want to go to all these other places, especially where filth and dirt takes place. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding, and open our minds and put the true love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Hazrat Father teaches us, May didari gumbat se makhmoor rahunga, kabhi noor hunga, kabhi toor hunga. And when I am close to the Rozai Park of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then just by that beautiful sight of the beautiful green dome where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak countenance is under that beautiful, under that green dome. That dome becomes so beautiful and so blessed. And from there, as if, like how when that Luban is, that smoke of that Luban is going around, Hazrat says, that very, very special Noorani smoke of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be emanating when I'm just looking at the Mubarak green dome. Then sometimes I'll be encompassed in the Noor and an iota of the Noor of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes I will feel I reach that Mount Tur, that very close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, we get an iota and we learn that how a person, when in Medina Sharif, and even when reciting Durood, we should do it with enjoyment and love, and as if we are close to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the barakat of this will be, Hazrat says, Gunao se apne mein ranjoor hunga, wafayde shafaat mein maghfoor hunga. That a person will realize that what has kept me away from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what has kept me, so to say, as a criminal and in prison, that is my sins. That is my sins that has kept me away from these Mubarak places, or showing the proper respect in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when we sit in the company of the friends of Allah, then we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself announces to us and tells us in a very loving way, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوْ وَجَدُوا اللَّهُ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. That, O my beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are those servants of mine who have caused oppression to themselves by being disobedient, by breaking the commands of Allah. We have brought them to your company. So when Allah Ta'ala gives that opportunity, and even if we can't be there for bodily, then with our heart and soul, recite that durood. And just imagine that we are very close to the Rauza-e Park of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And think of this ayat and present it to Allah. That, oh Allah, you have mentioned whoever comes to the Mubarak, the Rauza of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and begs for forgiveness, and then ask Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh, our beloved Nabi, this most useless ummati of yours has come to you, most sinful, please raise your Mubarak hands and seek forgiveness for me. And then, inshallah, by this intercession of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat says that I will be released from the shackles of this jail of my gunas, and that I am chained up with all my sins. And then Hazrat says, that now when you in Medina Sharif, see now how you'll enjoy Medina Sharif. That uregi hawa se jo khaake Medina, mein aise ghubaro se mastoor hunga. That when the dust of the biakrams of Medina Sharif is blowing, the beautiful winds and there's dust blowing, I won't run away, but I will make that dust as if I'm covering myself with a beautiful cloth. I'm covering myself with a shawl, that this beautiful dust of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closeness, that how I'll be encompassed and covered with that. That is teaching us here, that how myself, I will feel I must run away. Here we should get closer and closer. And then Hazrat says, when Allah Ta'ala grants that very, very special opportunity to do this great ibadat, that may roza pe salli ala nazar karke badil noor hoga baja noor hoga. When Allah Ta'ala gives me tawfiq now at the Rauza-e Paak of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will humbly present my durood in whatever broken way, but I will have great hope that in the barakat of this, my heart will become enlightened with just that special noor of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a person is now directly in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we should be begging there. That, oh Allah, that special noor that is descending upon the heart of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That rahmat that is descending, even let an iota, an iota, an iota of one drop just splash on me. And God, that noor come in my heart. then see how you'll be entered, encompassed in that beautiful nur. Your direction will change. Now you run away from all the places of dunya. You run towards the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat, towards the houses of Allah Ta'ala. And like now particularly, we can't maybe block to go to Medina Sharif. So to show our eagerness, we should be running to the masajid and begging Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I am stopped from going from Medina Sharif. Please don't stop me from my local masjid. Don't stop me from my masjid in my areas, etc. So we shouldn't be staying away. Now is the time to be running more closer. Then Hazrat says, not only your heart will be full of nur, your body will become full of nur. And this is the places to get the nur, in the masajid. And then we will get that connection with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat further explains, Madina ki anwar, sham o sahar se, sarapa dil wajah se masroor honga. That when I am in the precincts of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Mubarak city of Madina Sharif, then the nur of the evening of Madina Sharif, the nur of the morning of Madina Sharif, which in actual fact is that the countenance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nur is spreading around. So that will make me day and night, I'll be totally encompassed in this beautiful nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll be totally in extreme enjoyment and ecstasy. And this is Allah Ta'ala has informed us, when the world was lost in ignorance, that قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Yet from Allah, to take out the world of ignorance, especially from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala shows, Allah wants us to live under His rahmat and His mercy, and this can only take place when we come under the nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but the Qur'an-i Kareem, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should understand that from Makkah Sharif, on the Kaaba Sharif, Allah sends down that special nur. Then to Medina Sharif, Baitul Maqdis, and all the masajids in the world. So if we want that nur, we have to run to the masjid. And we have to come to the masjid. And as Hazrat explains further, according to the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will get that nur. And although so far, and although it seems that you are blocked, but your heart will get closer and attached. Allah give me that understanding and tawfiq. Then Hazrat says, when we get this special occasion, and just in this iota of this love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there may mamnoon honga khuda ke karam ka, kabhi dil mein apne na maghroor rahunga. That I will realize this is only the special favor of Allah. Where can I utter one durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my dirty tongue, my filthy heart, etc. It is only Allah Ta'ala's special favor and Allah Ta'ala's extreme kindness that this useless, most sinful servant on the face of the earth, Allah allows me to recite durood. And I beg and I hope in my heart that I'm close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa, and never for a moment will I ever become proud. But unfortunately, I must look at my condition, that thinking I went so many times to Medina Sharif, how much did I appreciate that occasion? How much did I show my respect? And because of that, be'adab, be'nasib. We didn't show respect, now we are losers. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah never ever closes His doors. Allah's doors are there to make us realize that turn more. And which other door can we go into besides Allah Rabbul Izzat? We should be begging for tawbah, istighfar, and asking Allah Ta'ala to grant us these special opportunities again. And for this we may make millions of shukr that Allah has granted us these majalis, to learn how to get connected to the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Hazrat further teaches us that what is the real connection of Medina Sharif? What is that real nur, the sign that nur has come in your heart? Har ek amar mein rai sunnat pe chalkar, khuda ke karam se mein mansoor hunga. That in every matter of mine, I try my utmost to follow the sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this we have to learn from the Ahlullah how to follow the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever we are, whenever we are. And then we'll see only with the kindness of Allah will the ummah get the help of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we are looking for help in all other the advisors of the atheists, of other people, whereas Allah Ta'ala has promised the only rahmat to draw from Allah Ta'ala and to get the help of Allah, وَاتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَاتِيُوا الرَّسُولُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. We have to run back to Allah, and the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, in the sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then only Allah's rahmat will come. All these shackles Allah Ta'ala will remove and break for us, and Allah's doors of mercy will open. And then Hazrat says, take a lesson from the true followers of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uhud ke shaheedo ke khoon e wafa se sabak lekar paaband dastoor rahunga. They just think of those great, great personalities who sat in the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when that noor penetrated their heart, they were ready to give their lives, their blood, their souls for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, to see and uphold the deen of Allah, and the noor of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spread. Hazrat says, we just think of the martyrs of Uhud, and we see what loyalty they had. They didn't run away with all the threats. The kuffar gave them more threats than we have today, but they remained firm on the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat says, I will take my lesson from this, and I will only remain firm on the constitution that Allah has given us. And that is the Qur'an-i Kareem. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that attach ourselves completely to Qur'an-i Kareem by making tilawat also, and that tilawat must become a reality, that noor of hidayat must enter my heart. And that is my constitution. No other government constitution, if it conflicts with the Qur'an-i Kareem, I shun that one side. But Allah Ta'ala's commands, I'll try my best. No matter what threats they are, I won't be scared for these artificial threats. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding. Madina mein jab kalb wa jaa chor aaya, main majoor hokar na majoor hunga. Hazrat beautifully says that all the time it's not possible maybe to stay in Madina Sharif, and especially now in this period, but I have left my heart and soul with Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, I have connected myself, tried my best to keep myself connected to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by reciting abundant of durood, trying to bring alive the sunnahs in my life, in my families, in my friends, and spread it throughout the world. Then outwardly it looks like my heart and soul has been captured and jailed there by Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in reality I'll be a free person. That connect your heart to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what a free person. You won't be overtaken with all the phobias and all the fears, etc. You'll be living in peace and enjoyment. And finally Hazrat teaches us that Quba ki ziyarat wa naflu se akhtar, har ek raay sunnat se pur noor hoga. That how Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that the first masjid that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam built, Masjid Quba, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to regularly go there and perform his Ishraq Salah, particularly on Yawm al-Sabt. And Hazrat says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that if you want to become an embodiment of noor, then try and follow every sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't forget about your past. Don't forget who put us on this path of guidance. Our parents, our ustads, our teachers who taught us alif, ba, ta, sa. Always we should make dua for them. Make dua for our mashayikh. Then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will guide us and open the doors of hidayat for us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin of Mulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayh, the different solutions for us to come out of our problems. Ruh number 10, the rights of oneself. Last time we had done the rights of our parents and other family members, but there are certain rights over ourselves. Man's life is the property of Allah Ta'ala, and He has imposed on us certain laws in respect to our own lives. Life has been bestowed to us as an amanat, trust. It is therefore incumbent to utilize and guard this amanat according to the divine command. Amongst the rights incumbent on us in respect of our lives are: number one, the protection of its health and strength. Number two, the guarding of its peace. This means to refrain from any such activity which unnecessarily imposes strain and frustration. Neglect in these rites results in interference with one's deen. Peace of mind and courage are destroyed, and in consequence one will fail to render service to others. At times, due to the frustration and weakness, one's condition aggravates to the degree that one's very iman is in danger of elimination. This grave state results because of impatience and ingratitude, together by frustration and depression, which overtakes man who has failed in fulfilling the rights of his own body and soul. Some ayat and a hadith will now be mentioned in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Shura that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam statement in which he enumerates the bounties of Allah ta'ala on him. Amongst these bounties he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I become sick, only Allah ta'ala cures me. The desirability of health is obvious from this ayat. In another ayat Allah ta'ala says, prepare to the best of your ability power for them, the enemies. This ayat commands the protection of strength and power. The hadith of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu narrated in Muslim mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained the above ayat as a reference to training, martial training, since this strengthens both the heart and the deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions specifically training with the bow and arrow in the tafsir of the above ayat, because the bow and arrow were the weapons of that age. This ayat and its tafsir will be applicable to whatever weapons are in vogue during any age. Person must prepare himself, must have that health and strength. Third ayat Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, do not be wasteful. Waste leads to destitution, which in turn produces hardship, worry and frustration. Thus this verse in actual fact commands abstention from frustration and despondency, which one invites upon himself by extravagance. Peace of mind is thus commanded by the Quran Sharif. Number 4, regarding excessive fasting and remaining awake at night in ibadat, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your body too has a right over you. Your eyes too have a right over you. Excessive striving and staying awake at night has a detrimental effect on the health, and this is against the rights which the body of man has got. So a person must make ibadat, but not so much it has an effect on his health. And number 5, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in regards to two bounties, most people remain in loss. One is health and the other is peace of mind. Health and peace of mind are two bounties which are strong aids in the development of one's spiritual and dini life. Peace of mind will exist when one has sufficient material possessions. The worry of poverty and want will not overtake one. From this narration we realize that the two favors mentioned above are to be cultivated. So in this hadith and this, what has Tanju Rahmatullah has mentioned here, that we have got our life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us as an amanat, and we have to look after this body, we have to look after the health of the body, exercising, preparing ourselves also. So a person must not just take it for granted, eat whatever we want to, do whatever we want to with our body, but it's an amanat and trust, and we have to utilize it how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to use it. But also there are moderation in this year, and for this to make mashwara with our elders, if a person is making ibadat, sometimes we exceed the bounds. This causes a detrimental effect on a person. So we should always make mashwara with our elders. Inshallah, in this way our bodies will be protected. Allah give us tawfiq.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qad aflaha man zakkaha. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before carrying on with the subject we want to discuss today, one very interesting incident came to light of the past, a true incident, and from where we can take a lot of lessons. And it is about when we try and dig a hole for somebody else, We fall in it ourselves. When we try and cause harm to anyone, then we ourselves suffer the consequences. It is a bit confusing, so if everyone listens very attentively, then we'll get the understanding of it. Otherwise, all the events which are in it are not so easy to follow. So if we pay proper attention, hopefully it needs proper explanation also, I'd like you to offer, that we can understand. If it's very interesting also, and the real is the moral, that we should not desire any harm for anyone in whichever way it is. So this is in the time of Mansur the Khalifa, and the Qadi was Ibn Abi Ya'la. Rahmatullah Ali was the Qadi of the time, and two ladies came with their case. They had some problem, argument, fight amongst them, so he tried to sort it out. So when they came, he asked, what's the problem? So the elderly lady told the young lady, you present the case. So she presented it. She said that when I was small, my father passed away, and this is my auntie, my father's sister, Foy Pupi, my father's sister. So she brought me up. She brought me up nicely. Then my father's brother's son, my cousin, he proposed for me, and she married me to him. We got married, we stayed nicely, happily for years. Then one day, this auntie of mine, who I called Ummi, my mother, because she brought me up, she came and brought her daughter's proposal for my husband, that marry my daughter. She was a young girl, and a young girl, very beautiful also, and charming also. So she said, all right, I'll marry her. And in common in the Arab lands, more than one nikah is quite common also. But she said with one condition, that your right of talaq for your first wife, for me, that is the woman who was explaining, you give me, to the mother, you give me that right, that I control that right. He said, it's all right, you take that right. Then he married her. They spent the first night. Then she came, the auntie came again. And she told this girl, her niece, that I give you talaq. The right that I've got, I'm exercising it, and I give you talaq. So you are out of the nikah of the cousin, the nephew of that auntie. After that, she passed her iddat, and her auntie's husband, he came back from a journey. He was very tired also, and after you're long away from your family, you want to be with your family also. He was a poet also, and he was a person who loved beauty also, beauty of woman, etc. And it appears that this woman was very beautiful. So when he returned from journey, she went to him. She was out of her iddat, and she told him that he is her auntie's husband. And she told him that she made herself up, dolled herself up, and she said, I present myself in nikah to you. So he was also keen, and she was very beautiful. So he said, I accept, but she said, with the condition that the right of talaq of your wife, you give it in my hand. That is that auntie's daughter. So he said, all right, I give you the right of that. So after the match finished, she went and she gave talaq to the auntie's daughter. The auntie, she got him her husband to divorce her. Now she got her husband to divorce her. She gave her the talaq. After that, some time passed, and her husband, that is this daughter, this girl who was talking, the auntie's niece, her husband passed away. Now she passed the iddat, she was out of iddat. So then her auntie came, the mom, who she called Ummi. She came to her to demand inheritance. So she said, no inheritance for you. You're out of his nikah long time already. There's no inheritance for you. So this problem carried on. And in that process, she brought her daughter and her son-in-law, who was the husband of this woman. First, she divorced. They were divorced. She brought them. When they came, And they saw one another, this old husband and first wife. And old love, the flame of that love came alive again. So she wanted, she said, I present myself in marriage to you. So he said, it's all right, I'm prepared to marry you again. That old love came again. It flared up in the heart. But she said, with the condition that the divorce of your wife, the right of that, the fuyid, you put it in my hands. She said, all right, I do that. She accepted it. And then she gave talaq to her also. So then the judge asked, so now why have you people come here? So they said that now is the problem of the inheritance. So he said, everything is quite according to Sharia. You haven't contravened, this young girl hasn't contravened any law of Sharia. Her marriages, her talaq, her iddah, and she's entitled to all that inheritance also. Because both the wives now, they were out of the nikah of this person. So they don't get anything. So that poor lady, she got her daughter to be divorced. Finally, she lost out completely. Everything. She lost out her husband also. She lost everything. And she lost all the inheritance also. Then the judge explained this to the Khalifa Mansur. He had a very good laugh, and then he said, whoever digs a hole for somebody else, he himself falls in that hole. And also he explained that she did not only fall in a hole, but in a whole big sea she fell. She lost out completely. So Allah give us tawfiq that we never wish. And this is also one thing, many times we wish harm for others. And in the process, we harm ourselves. And if we wish good for others, only good comes to us. Allah tabaraka ta'ala guide us in our whole deen. Bring the whole deen. The kitab Maulana is reading of Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi is how to bring the whole of deen into our lives. And only in there lies our success in every way. For that our Islahi Jalsa also, that is to make our tazkiyah. The more we make our tazkiyah, the more deen, which means tazkiyah means deen comes into our life. And then the second part almost automatically also comes. And that is connection with Allah Ta'ala. And there can be no greater joy when we get to whatever degree it is connection with Allah Ta'ala. And there can be no deprivation more than to be deprived of the love of Allah Ta'ala. And the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, that is the greatest deprivation a person can suffer. Though we don't think of it. So, to make it easy to understand, mashallah, ulama have explained in many ways and carry on explaining one aspect that also is explained, that our body, as we are all sitting here, every human being, we are made of two parts. One is our body, physical body, which is referred to also many times as the nafs. And then the other part, which is the major part, is the ruh, the soul. And the most important is the soul. But we don't pay attention to it. We only pay attention everything we do, like if we have to think generally, we who are sitting here, hopefully all of us, mashallah, we are namazis, our five times namazis are in order. Everything, we make our namazis, everything. But really, how much did we think of our ruh? And how much did we think of our body? For our body, our sleep we knew was important. We must sleep also, which is the right of the body also. And then our breakfast, we all made sure, earning our living. Living was for this body. In order to have shelter, to have transport, to have a home, it is all for this body. We had our lunch, whatever it might be. Somebody ate at home, ate a proper meal. Somebody at work had sandwiches or something. But we had our lunch, we had our supper. Everything we are thinking of going to sleep again tonight. It is all for the body. But what really did we do for the ruh? To nourish our ruh, to look after our ruh. The ruh has also got all its needs. And we know that the important thing is the ruh. Because, take the example, a person is in ICU, Allah protect us all. And all who are there, many of our close people are there. And with all this virus and that, we make dua, Allah give them all shifa. Whoever those connected to our families, who are connected to the khanqa, in any way, the whole ummah, all who are in this difficult plight, and any other sickness also, Allah give them all shifa. And people there, with the oxygen, etc., and what they're going through, Allah give all shifa. But anyway, a person is there, and the doctors, the nurses, all are attending. There are machines on the person, the ventilators, all the things are there. They are monitoring all the things, seeing the readings all the time. They are making adjustments also. All this, as long as the ruh is there. As soon as the ruh goes out, now finished. Now no more they don't pay any attention. The machines are unplugged now. There is no more running around, and that suddenly the machine shows something and they're running, getting the doctor, asking his advice, what to do now. Suddenly all that is finished now. So it is all because of the ruh. So the ruh is the most important. But that is, we are oblivious. Bal tu'thiruna al-hayat ad-dunya. We give preference to this worldly life. And we don't consider. And we who are here, we make our namazes, alhamdulillah, but not with that consciousness that it is for my ruh. The namaz, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. The zikr for the ruh. وَصَلَّى. And make namaz. We take it as a duty, but to nourish the ruh. This is all nourishment of the ruh, to make the ruh stronger. And the whole problem is that the ruh, that is the most important, our soul. And then we don't give real importance to the soul, we give importance to the body. And in the process what happens, the nafs is more robust, the nafs is more aggressive, and it overtakes and overpowers the ruh. The ruh, it is the real thing, the thing that has to be given preference. But unfortunately, we don't give it that preference, and the nafs takes over. A little example of this, we are living in a house, the main house, and it is our house we're living. Somebody was in a problem or something, we gave him a room at the back to stay, the outbuilding or something. But that person was so aggressive, and he was so cunning and so shrewd, that he worked in such a way that he pushed us out of the house. And he took occupation of the house. Like that, the ruh, the nafs came and it pushed the ruh out. And the nafs is in control today. So that is, and for the vast majority of people, non-believers who are in the majority in the world, and in the believers also, the vast majority, unfortunately, we are far from deen. What does that mean? The nafs is in control. And the ruh has been overtaken, has been overpowered. So what effort, this whole effort of this jalsa, tazkiyah, our coming to the majlis, and which we must be conscious all the time. Not one majlis, one hour a week, or not one Islahi jalsa for a few days in the year, but constantly we must be conscious that the ruh is like an honorable, like honorable, and it doesn't like push itself. We have to understand that the ruh is the most important. Like for example, the head of the family, the father, or in any institute or anything, he is the main person. But if he is a person who is not aggressive, he doesn't push himself, doesn't mean we take advantage of him. And we, like today, unfortunately, many of the children, they dictate to their parents. And the parents just have to listen to what the children say. And there are very sad stories. With that at the moment also, unfortunately, this thing seems to be gaining momentum, what all the news that's coming in. Our Muslim girls that are being targeted by non-Muslims in various ways, in India also, various other countries also. And they are targeting our Muslim girls. And they are somehow or the other taking them out from the parents' clutches, offering them like marriage, etc., all things, and then leave them in the lurch. And many of those girls, then they can't go home now. They disobeyed their parents. They went out with non-Muslims, etc. And now they also have left them, and they are committing suicide. Unfortunately, just many reports of this type are coming. Hopefully, it's not true or it's exaggerated. But the way it seems, this is a serious problem. And to look after our children. And today, our children dictate to us. So, Allah Ta'ala save us from that also. And like parents who they don't, they are like honorable, but they don't like force their way. And the children, the environment has become that the children are controlling. Just like that, the nafs has overtaken the ruh. Or another simple example by which we can understand, we got a very powerful motor car. Whatever the great power it has got. And that motor car can do a lot of good for you. But if it is out of control, your young boy, you brought the brand new motor car home, your boy of 13, 14, he can drive, he went, he took the car, and just how many cases have happened that in the residential area, they sped with such speed, and they were completely, what accidents took place, how they got killed, a brand new motor car completely destroyed. So this is when the nafs is in control, which means that car is out of control. When the nafs is in control, then our lives are out of control. When the ruh is in control, everything will be in order. And this year, when this happens, then the consequences are very disastrous. Yeah, in this world already, the nafs, it likes the things of this dunya, and the things, and also this is the thing, when the nafs is in control, then deen is not enjoyable to a person. Nafs naturally goes to dunya's things. The freedom of the dunya, which today is synonymous with a modern way of life, with a Western way of life, it is synonymous with that. So when we go to that, then the nafs gets the enjoyment. But the ruh is being suppressed. The ruh is not getting its food, becoming weaker and weaker. And the nafs is becoming stronger and stronger. And a person who is like that gets enjoyment in the dunya. Dressing how people of the dunya dress, whether no matter how stupid it may seem. And really very stupid it is. The funny hairstyle. Then the dyeing of that hairstyle seems also in a funny, funny way. The dressing which is also, all that, all those things. The holidays, the outings, the lifestyle, everything. Then in this world already, now all of us, in our families also we know, in our communities, we have got problems. They are drug addicts now. There are people who are divorced. A person today, it was never really heard of, a woman, 6-7 husbands. A husband, 7-8 wives. And it's just like changing cars or changing clothes. Today, unfortunately, and that is not just that. Now the children that are involved, who are the parents? You had seven, eight wives. You had children from 7-8 wives. Where's the control? What is happening? Everything, those children are just doing what they want to. There is nobody to control them. And there is nobody to support them also. Nobody to guide them also. So this, when the nafs is in control, all this is happening. Just because of our lust, now we divorce this wife, we marry that woman, we divorce her, we marry another woman. Women are carrying on like that. We never heard of this in a Muslim community, that so many, the person like just changing cars or changing clothes, etc. This unfortunately is coming in. So all that lifestyle. So in this world already we are in Jahannam. Everything is going wrong. Now, to sustain that lifestyle, we need a lot of money also. Now we are not looking at halal or haram also. Wherever I can get money, in whichever way, I can do somebody down, rob somebody, but whichever way I can get money. And I just want to live that lifestyle. So that is, yeah. And then at the time of mort, what is the condition of such a person? Allah have mercy upon all of us. Then further on, it isn't just this. Then in the qabr, what happens? When we can't answer the questions, Mar Rabbuka, who was your Rabb? We lived a life where the nafs was in control. We never ever thought of coming to know who our Rabb is. And when a person cannot answer in the qabr, how the malaika smite that person, how they hit that person, and he can't answer. And then all the other questions, there was no Islam in our life. Ma deenuka, what was your deen? We haven't got that also. ما تقول في حق هذا الرجل؟ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام with regard to Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, yeah, in this world we were just living like animals, really like animals also. They just lived their lives as the mother or the father of the animal just gets that the baby animal to do its things of this dunya, how to get its rosy, etc. After that they just go on their own. Our children are becoming like that. Eh? And not only that, we're not even teaching our children the basics of deen. They are just left to nannies from the time they are born nowadays. The mother haven't got time. The mother has to go to work. The father hasn't got time. And then again, all this changing of husbands and wives, so much, all this, so this terrible consequence. This is all with the nafs. So this islah is just this, that how can the ruh come in control again? And that we become conscious of it in the first place. And we become conscious, we try and make other people conscious also. And all the efforts of deen, whether it is tabligh, jamaat, from a different angle, it is the same thing to bring that change in us, that the obedience of the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it is the Darul Ulooms, and the children are becoming ulama, they are studying, it's not just the matter of becoming an alim, but then how to practice upon that, and how to bring that in our lives. We are coming to the Khanqah also, not just to attend a majlis, not just for some barakat or something, but to bring that into, and is it coming? Our children, how are we educating our children? How are we dressing our children? Just one incident now, that one young boys and girls, all Muslims, they went out for the night, all haram, illegal, young boys and girls, dressed also so terribly, and when they were returning, then they met up with a terrible accident. And at the time when one girl was kissing her boyfriend, at that time the accident, and at the time she passed away also. Because she couldn't do this at home, her father was very, what we will call, strict, whereas it was just to maintain law and order. Then when he had to identify the body in the qabr, in the mortuary, when he saw, he said, no, this is not my daughter. They said, look properly. He knew his daughter doesn't dress like this, and the makeup and all that. But when he looked at the face properly, it was his daughter. When he came out and he told his mother, the mother of the daughter, his wife, and she burst out crying. And she said, it's all my fault. I knew she had a boyfriend. I encouraged her. I bought these clothes for her. Today, this is our condition. And the youngsters are on their own. That freedom, that nafs, what it wants, all that freedom. And if the parents who are grown up, we promoting this also, then what can we expect? Where to turn to now? And then the present conditions which we are complaining, why really are we complaining? And still we are looking for the solution in the wrong places also. What the actual solution? And now if the time has come when these people, what they are prescribing the solution, the protocol, they themselves are saying that this is in fact causing the problem. So really Allah give us understanding, that we understand to look after our ruh. And so this will be in the qabr. And then all the questions about our Islam, our deen, and then on the day of the, and then our life in the qabr. It's not a matter of a day or 2 days, how long people are in the qabr for 5,000 years, 8,000 years. Allah alone knows how long people are in the qabr. And yeah, if we are in isolation, how many people who go have to go into this isolation for 14 days or whatever, it's like a torture itself. And dare to be in isolation, what is the condition there? And then and with all the things that go with it, if with the ruh we did not honor the ruh and look after it, and we were just giving vent to our desires, what we feel like doing, we want to get up for fajr, we get up, we don't want to get up, we don't get up, we want to go to masjid, we go, we don't want to go, we make namaz at home. And what strict warnings for those who hear the azan and then they don't go to the masjid. What strict warnings there are for those people. So this is that effort that we do this. Then it is on the day of Qiyamah, what will be our condition? And then after that, either Jannat or Jahannam. And if the nafs was in control, what will be the condition of the person in Jahannam then? And not a matter of a day or 2 days, but how long? And nafs, if it was there which made us made gunas. But today the thing is, our iman is at stake. Directly, openly, our iman is at stake. And all this about these girls, these people are making efforts on to take them out of their deen. And it is all non-Muslims. Somebody is marrying a Hindu, somebody is marrying a Christian, somebody is marrying anyone, just who they, like animals we have become. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand this, and that we can, with this effort of the Islahi Jalsa also, we all do our due, take our part in it, we make our Islah also, and this Islah, no matter who it is, how great a person, how great a buzurgi is, but nobody has got guarantee of the next minute also. What can happen? Hey, today we are hearing those sad stories, girls who studied in our Darul Ulooms, Alimas, boys who became Hafiz, etc. They openly have become murtad and openly declare, and they giving da'wat of their evil to other people. So we got no control of ourselves, of our children. Continuously we have to have this concern until our ruh goes out with iman. That is when we are successful. Till that time we can never ever sit back or think that I'm all right or I am safe. Today nobody is safe. Even if we stay in the four corners of our homes, we are not safe today. And the whole environment is polluted. Much more than with the virus that it can spread, and that this evil that is spreading is much more severe and terrible. So Allah Ta'ala make us become conscious, worry about the ummah also, and everyone else, our family, our children, our communities, our neighborhood that we have. At least du'as we make some effort. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.